Hallelujah. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to address the chief priests and the elders of the people once more using parables. The kingdom of God may be likened to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the wedding, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have my dinner prepared, my bullocks and corn-fed cattle are killed, everything is ready. Come to the feast." Some ignored the invitation and went their way, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, insulted them, and killed them. At this the king grew furious and sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servants, "The banquet is ready, but those who were invited were unfit to come. That is why you must go out into the byroads and invite to the wedding anyone you come upon." The servants then went out into the byroads and routed up everyone they could, bad as well as good. This filled the wedding hall with banqueters. When the king came in to meet the guests, however, he caught sight of a man not properly dressed for a wedding feast. "My friend," he said, "how is it you came in here not properly dressed?" The man had nothing to say. Then he then said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the night to wail and grind his teeth. The invited are many, the elect are few." This is the gospel of the Lord. Today on the feast of St. Bernard, I think we should say something about St. Bernard. A doctor of the church, one of the great minds of Christianity. Bernard was a rare combination. He was one of the preachers of the Crusades to deliver the Holy Land from the Muslims. Just for the record, we need a St. Bernard today. The greatest threat to Christianity in the world today is Islam. 24 countries in Africa, Muslim countries, have organized to eradicate Christianity from the African continent. Bernard then was a zealous defender of the faith. Bernard was a contemplative monk, a rare combination, preaching contemplation, solitude, how we need. Every Catholic should spend some time every day in quiet, silent, solitary prayer with God. We are hypnotized by the activity of our society. We are living in a dream world of noise. Prayerful, quiet solitude we need. And I will say, even to keep our sanity. Saint Bernard was a great promoter of devotion to Our Lady. He is credited with the prayer of the Memorare that I commend to all of you every day. But St. Bernard wrote a masterpiece on the love of God, the greatest single book as the Church has agreed over the centuries how the love of God was written by Saint Bernard. But Bernard had no illusions about what it means to love God. To love God does not mean, though it includes, using words and expressions of love for God. Loving God means not only telling God we love Him. It means putting our love into action. We love God when we love Him indeed. Change the adverb to a prepositional phrase. When we love God in, pause, deed. But especially Bernard's great contribution to Christian spirituality. We love God in sacrifice. When we surrender what is precious out of love for God, there are two words, Bernard said, always belong together, and they are love and suffering. Unless we're willing to suffer for the one we love, we are hypocrites, unquote, Saint Bernard. Oh, how today's world. Love every person. Everybody is talking about love. But dear God, how unwilling people are to suffer for the one they claim to love, especially the God who became man in order to be able to suffer out of love for us. How we need, how desperately we need to relearn the meaning of true love. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Saint Bernard, the zealous defender of the faith, the lover of contemplation and prayer, the devotee of Our Lady, but especially the teacher of what true love means. Love means to give. Love especially means to give up our own self-will. For most of us, the most painful suffering on earth is to surrender our will to the will of a loving God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope in the Lord, I trust in His Word. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they assembled in a body, and one of them, a lawyer, in an attempt to trap him up, asked him, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments rest the whole law and the prophets as well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Today on the feast of St. Pius the 10th, I think we should say something about St. Pius the 10th. By all odds, he was the greatest pontiff in about 500 years. In many ways, a simple man. a country boy. And by that time, the educated world, theologians, and biblical scholars had devised some strange ideas that were shaking the church to her foundations. His first great contribution, therefore, St. Pius X, was to identify and condemn modernism. Every single error which he condemned at the turn of the present century, every single one, is the reason why the Catholic Church is going through the most serious crisis in 2,000 years of history. No question. Every error he condemned of modernism is rife and rampant, taught in one religious education program after another, taught in one seminary after another. I wouldn't dare say this except 20 years of working with the Holy See. Secondly, St. Pius X restored early and frequent Holy Communion. And with that, he opened up a renaissance in devotion to the Holy Eucharist that had not been known for at least 300 years. And finally, St. Pius X instituted what we now casually call the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine Programs. He has used a breathless statement of St. Pius X. He said, "The main reason for so many people giving up their faith is not because of bad will. It is mainly because of ignorance. How we need, on all three levels, of St. Pius X's contribution to the church, to not just recall his memory, but put into practice what he so courageously taught and did. To recognize error, it is rife, mammoth, widespread. Devotion to the real presence. Oh, dear Lord, when I give lectures now, depending on who the audience is, I ask them, how many of you will promise that no matter who does what, you will always genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament? Raise your hands. 5 hands go up. How many? 10 hands go up. Come, how many? I don't stop until every hand is up. Faith in the real presence. Dear God, Jesus Christ is on earth, and so many who call themselves Catholics don't believe it. And the confraternity of Christian doctrine. Oh, but it had better be Roman Catholic Christian doctrine. Saint Pius X, courageous defender of the faith, lover of the Holy Eucharist, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now at this time, Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census of the whole world to be taken. This census, the first, took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to be registered. So Joseph set out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee and traveled up to Judea to the town of David called Bethlehem, since he was of David's house and line, in order to be registered together with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the countryside close by there were shepherds in the fields, and took it in turns to watch their flocks during the night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone among them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord, and here is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, with the angel, there was a great throng of the heavenly hierarchy, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to men of good will." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The feast of Our Lady's queenship occurs on the active of her Assumption. It corresponds to the fifth and closing mystery of the Rosary. And when I leave the Rosary, I always say, the coronation of Mary by her Son as Queen of Heaven and Earth. They believe that our Lord, once his mother was assumed in heaven, body and soul, Jesus himself crowned his mother as Queen of Heaven and Earth. What do we mean when we say we believe in Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth? There are two kinds of queens, nominal queens and real queens. The Queen of England is a nominal queen. There are real queens, like Catherine of Aragon, Our Lady is a real queen. Her title to queenship is because her Son is King. And what we need to remember is that Christ is King not only because he is the Son of God. Christ is King also as man. He was born, as we've just heard, of the royal family of David. His mother was herself descended from the royal line of King David. By definition, a queen has authority. A queen has rights. A queen, to say the least, has influence, in this case, over her divine Son, who is King of Heaven and Earth. What kind of influence does Mary have as Queen, and a title alike, Queen of the Universe, that covers it all? She first of all has the influence of being literally, in the deepest doctrinal sense of the word, she is mother of the King. And as I know, I didn't realize that, a mother's authority starts, had birth, and it never ends. I was ordained a priest just 1 year. My mother lived only 1 year. I can tell you, she gave me orders. A mother's authority does not stop with childhood. As far as a mother is concerned, that child she gave birth to remains her child forever. What then is Mary's authority? It is the authority of her divine maternity. As the mother of God who became man, Mary has authority, always, of course, subordinate to her son. But it is real authority. And the term we use in theology, it is mobile authority. The influence of one person over another, where that influence is the power that Mary has, and the word is power, to influence her son. And she began to exercise that influence the moment that her divine son was conceived. He was still in his mother's womb. So was John, my patron, in his mother's womb. No matter. Mary, when she greeted Elizabeth, we believe her voice sanctified the unborn child carried by Elizabeth. What then is the authority that Mary has over her divine son? It is the authority of obtaining from him, and we have to say this, whatever she wants. And this was brought to light at Cana in Galilee. Mary noticed they had run out of wine. So they ran out of wine. One of two reasons. Either they didn't have enough wine to begin with, or they had enough all right, but they drank too much. In any case, Mary then noticed, and all she had to do is tell her son, they have no wine. Talk about influence. He didn't really make an objection. All right. You know as well as I'm not yet supposed to work any miracles. But all right. So, well, then he didn't tell her to. You know what she did? She went out and found the servants and told them. Now, she did not have the power of working miracles. Do whatever he tells you. And I like the expression of the poet. The water looked at its maker and blushed. If we want to know the influence that Mary has over her son, and that is the queenship of Mary, in our 2,000 years, ever since Cana, which have been the most famous shrines in Christendom, where have most of the miracles been performed? At shrines of Our Lady. Mary has, I can say the word, tremendous influence over her son. But I want to bring this down to earth. what is Mary's role as queen in our regard? If we want to obtain what I don't say we want, what we think we want from her divine son, we go to her. And that is why my recommendation, and let's say it together, that every day I won't ask for a raising of hands. How many of you are saying the Hail Holy Queen every day? Do you know the Hail Holy Queen? Honest? I want to ask you, I'll work with you. Say it. Could you say it out loud? Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life together, our sweetness and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Master, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Philip sought out Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses spoke of in the law, the prophets too, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael's response to this was, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Philip replied, "Come, see for yourself." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he remarked, "This man is a real Israelite. There is no guile in him." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked him. "Before Philip called you," Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree." "Rabbi," said Nathanael, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus responded, "Do you believe just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see much greater things than that." He went on to tell them, "I solemnly assure you, you shall see the sky opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. I still think we ought to have at least a short homilet. Today, on the feast of St. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, we are commemorating the feast day of not only one of the apostles, but one who went, so history tells us, all the way to India. Thomas and Bartholomew reached India. The lesson for us, I think, should be obvious. Except for the apostles, and I should add, remain faithful to Jesus Christ, because there was a traitor among the apostles, Judas by name. But among the apostles, we know all but one paid for his faith in Christ by his blood. How we need today, first of all, bishops, dear Lord, bishops, priests, and religious who are faithful to the teaching of Jesus Christ. How many of the laity faithful to the teachings of Christ as passed on by the successors of the apostles, but under Peter. We know, I'm sure we all know, that the Catholic Church in our country has been hit by a cyclone. I happen to be from the Pittsburgh Diocese originally. I've been reading. Now they're closing 42 churches in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Lord Jesus, give us, restore to us the faith that the apostles died to preserve. Three duties we have, dear Lord: to learn our faith, to live our faith, and to suffer for our faith. And you know and I know, to be a really faithful, honest to God Roman Catholic in the world today means to be living the life of a martyr. And that is not poetry. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Saint Nathanael, otherwise known as Bartholomew, the apostle who brought the gospel to the Far East. Give us, dear Jesus, something of the faith that he had, so that living our Catholic faith today, and if need be dying for it, we may preserve that faith which Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us. Saint Bartholomew, apostle and martyr, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope in the Lord. I trust in his word. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You pay tithes on mint and herbs and seeds, while neglecting the mightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and good faith. It is these you should have practiced without neglecting the others. Blind guides, you strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You cleanse the outside of cup and dish and leave the inside filled with loot and lust. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup, so that his outside may be clean. This is the gospel of the Lord." As often as we use the word St. Louis, city in Missouri, a lot of people hardly know who St. Louis was. Today is his feast. St. Louis, as we know, was King of France, died in 1270 while leading a crusade to save the holy places in Palestine. There have not been too many kings, civil rulers, who've been canonized. St. Louis is one of them. He lived a very holy life, a very chaste life, in fact, a heroic life, and died, I would say, we could have red vestments. He died a martyr for the faith. The one thing that I think is worth remembering, especially about St. Louis, is that he went to deliver the holy places from the Muslims, who by that time, as we know, had overrun much of the Eastern world. How casually, without a second thought, we think of Mary as the Mother of God. Mary as the Mother of God. What does that have to do with the Muslims? Everything. And the word is everything. In the eyes of the Muslims, we are idolaters. And their Quran tells them, either convert Christians or kill them. Unless they deny that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the mother of no mere man, but the mother of God. To claim, as we firmly believe, that the child that Mary gave birth to in Bethlehem, to believe as we do, that that child is, in the Muslim vocabulary, Allah, is to be an idolater. The greatest threat to the future of Christianity is from Islam. And the largest single concentration of Muslims in the United States is in our blessed city of Detroit, in case nobody told you. Pray for the conversion of the Muslims. Pray that they, through the merits of St. Louis, who died at their hands while leading a crusade, they might come to believe what so many of us think is, I'm afraid, a pious platitude, that Mary is the Mother of God. St. Louis, King of France, defender of Mary's divine maternity, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Let your face shine on your servant and teach me your laws. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful to look at on the outside, but inside full of filth and dead men's bones. Thus, you present a view, a holy exterior, while hypocrisy and evil fill you within. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You erect tombs for the prophets and decorate the monuments of the saints. You say, 'Had we lived in your forefathers' time, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophet's blood.' Thus you show that you are the sons of the prophet's murderers. Now it is your turn. Fill up the vessel measured off by your forefathers." This is the gospel of the Lord. How we need what we've just read in the gospel this morning. In so many ways, the picture of Jesus presented to the world is of a mild, gentle, kind, loving Savior. He is. He is divine love become man. He is mercy incarnate. He took little children into his arms, blessed them. But Jesus Christ is God. God is love. Love become man. But Jesus Christ is also God, who is all just. If there is anything that the world needed in Christ's time, as it needs in our time, is for those who are not doing the will of God to be called frauds, hypocrites, tombs of dead men's bones. The world needs leadership. The world needs people in all places of society, in church and in state, who are leading the people according to the will of God. People are naturally, spontaneously followers. How they need leaders who are leaders and not misleaders. In this, what I have no doubt, is the most important election year in the history of our nation. And this, what one modern pope after another says, is the most serious crisis in the church's history. How we need, dear Lord, how we need leaders who are faithful to God, who believe what Jesus Christ taught, and are willing to pay the price of telling the faithful what is their duty. I'll never forget the talk our Holy Father gave in Chicago on his first pilgrimage to the United States. Pleaded with the assembled hierarchy of America, in the name of God, will you please tell the people there is sin, they are sinners, they need forgiveness. One closing request: pray that once more our confessionals will be filled, that people will recognize they are sinners. Because it is a phrase I'm using, and I'm not ashamed to use it, the days of America are numbered. Lord Jesus, awaken us from the dream world in which so many of our contemporaries are living. Give us the light to know your will, and the strength to do it, and protect us, dear Jesus, from the demon of human respect. Because, dear Lord, you are the just God who became man to teach us how we are to please you in this life and enjoy you, provided as sinners we are repented in the present life. Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.